नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिने नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर जॉइनिंग टुडेज सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम द सिक्स चैप्टर ऑफ भगवद्गीता titled Dhyana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga. So I'll do a quick recap of what we have seen till now. So Krishna, in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, establishes what is the adhikar for practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga and gradually describes about Nishkama Karma Yoga. And further discussion about practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga is described in the fourth chapter. And towards the end of the fourth chapter, he spoke about, how by practice of Nishkama one elevates oneself to the stage of Jnana. Then the Jnana Yoga is described in the fifth chapter. Especially, we saw that this Jnana can be practiced on the platform of either karma sannyas or grihastha sannyas. So one can practice on the platform of jnana. After reaching the platform of jnana, Krishna describes two types of sannyas. One is grihastha sannyas, or which we discussed as nishkama karma yoga type 2, or karma sannyas, where one gives up one's karma. And he established that how grihastha sannyas is always better because it is very safe. That was described. And how by practice of either karma sannyas or grihastha sannyas, gradually one reaches the stage of liberation, jivan mukta, and then eventually attains liberation. That was described the description of a person who has reached that particular stage of being a jivan mukta, that was described. And then finally, towards the end of the chapter, it was indicated that how this stage of liberation or this goal of liberation can also be achieved by practice of Ashtanga Yoga. The last three verses of fourth chapter described Ashtanga Yoga. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatva mam shantim ruchati. Ending with that particular verse, the description of Ashtanga Yoga was described, which was a prelude to starting the sixth chapter, which is Ashtanga Yoga itself. Okay. So now, excuse me. In the sixth chapter, he describes what is real sannyas and what is real yoga. Even though he has described this concept before, but he is still emphasizing on the same concept here. Anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karoti yaha sa sannyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir na chakriya. So he says that real sannyas or real yoga is not about giving up one's karma, or it's not about giving up one's varnashrama duties. But in reality, it is about giving up the fruits of the desire to enjoy the fruits of one's activities. Yam sanyasam iti prahur yogam tam viddhi pandava nahi asanyasta sankalpo yogi bhavati kaschana. So he says that the meaning of sannyas is the same as the meaning of yoga, and one who has not given up the desire to enjoy the fruits of his action, he can never practice yoga. He is never a yogi. Arurukshor muner yogam karma karanam uchyate yogarudasya tasyeva shamak karanam uchyate. There are two levels of practicing Ashtanga Yoga. The yogarurukshu is the early stage. The yogaruda is the later stage. In the early stage of yogarurukshu, the means of attaining success is to practice Nishkama Karma Yoga, because in the early stages, the heart of a yogi is not free of the desire to enjoy, and the means of cleansing the heart of those desires is practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga. Therefore, in the early stages of practice, the means of success for a yogi is to practice his Nishkama Karma Yoga or Varnashrama duties. But Yoga Rudasya Tasseva, when he reaches the later stages of yoga, when he has to perform dharana, dhyana, samadhi, meditation of the Paramatma form of the Lord, at that time, he should essentially give up his practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, because he cannot parallelly practice both, because you know, it will, if he has to in between stop his meditation and perform his karma, then it will distract him from meditating on the Paramatma inside. So while we saw this grihastha, the option of grihastha sannyas was available on the path of jnana, but on the path of yoga there is nothing like you know, that kind of a grihastha sannyas option that is available. Essentially, when one reaches the later stages of Ashtanga Yoga, he has to give up his grihastha life and he has to essentially take up to something like sannyas and go to the forest, which will be described. Yadahi nendriyarteshu na karma svanushajyate sarva sankalpa sannyasi yoga rudastadochyate. Now, who is a yoga ruda? At what stage one should give up one's practice of grihastha life? He says, when the senses are no longer attached to the sense objects, and he has renounced all kinds of material desires, at that stage one should understand that he has reached the stage of yoga ruda. Then he says, uddared atmanatmanam natmanam avasadayat aivahi atmana bandur atmaivari puratmana. The importance of mind control is described in the practice of yoga. The soul can be delivered by the mind and the soul can be degraded by the mind. One should try to elevate the soul using the mind and not degrade it. The mind is the friend of the soul. The mind can also become the enemy of the soul. Actually, soul cannot be elevated or degraded. The soul is always in the situated in its constitutional position. But the only thing is that constitutional bliss is not realized by the soul when he is on the platform of false identifying with the gross and subtle body. That is the problem. Otherwise, it is mentioned in the Shastras that asangohi ayam purushaha. The soul has nothing to do with matter. The soul has no connection with matter. That is what the Shastras say. So the mind cannot actually degrade the soul or elevate the soul. The soul is always situated. But the soul can misidentify with the body and actually imagine experiencing bondage. So bondage and liberation both are imaginary states, because the soul can never be bound. But the soul can imagine itself to be bound. So the stage of Bhagavatam describes this as Swapna Drashtur Ivanjasa. It is like a stage of dream. Okay. So in reality, the soul is not bound to this material world. But the soul can imagine itself to be bound to this material world. So Bandhur Atmatmanastasya Yenatmai Vatmana Jitaha Anatmanastuta Shatrutve Varteta Atmaiva Shatruvat. Mind is a friend of that person who has conquered the mind, but the mind is the enemy of that soul which has not controlled the mind. Jitatmana Prashantasya Paramatma Samahita Shitoshna Sukha Dukkeshu Tata Manapamana Yohu. The person at the stage of Yoga Ruda, his situation is described. He says that a person at the stage of Yoga Ruda is Jitatmanaha. He has conquered the mind. Prashantasya is completely free from all kinds of material attachments. Atma Param Samahitaha. And the soul is situated in deep trance. Shita Ushna Sukha Dukkeshu. That state of trance is not disturbed by disturbances on the level of body, mind and false ego. Shita Ushna is disturbances on the level of body. Sukha Dukkha is disturbances on the level of mind. And Mana Apamana is disturbances on the level of false ego. ज्ञान विज्ञान तृप्तात्मा कूटस्थो विजितेन्द्रिय युक्त इति उच्यते योगी सम लोष्ट्राश्म कांचन एंड फर्दर डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ द पर्सन एट द स्टेज ऑफ योगारूढ़ सो ही सेज ज्ञान विज्ञान तृप्तात्मा वाट एवर नॉलेज एंड रियलाइजेशन ही हैज रिसीव्ड बाय प्रैक्टिस ऑफ हिज योगा ही इज वेरी सैटिस्फाइड विद दैट कूटस्थ सो इट सेज दैट he is always pervaded by one nature you know he is not you know there is no duality you know happiness distress and all that that is not there because he is situated in one nature beyond the bodily platform vijitendriya is completely controlled his senses sama loshtrashma kanchana and he considers an earth stone and gold to be on the same level as we saw not because he cannot discriminate the difference between the three but just that in terms of utility all three have equally no utility for him because he is concentrating on within so such a person is called a yogi at the stage of yogarudha suhrin mitrari udasina madhyastha dvesha bandushu సాధుషు అపిచ పాపేషు సమబుద్ధిర్ విశిష్యతే ఈవన్ అట్ ఈవన్ అడ్వాన్స్ స్టేజెస్ ద యోగి ఇస్ నాట్ హీస్ వెరీ న్యూట్రల్ టు ఎ వెల్ విషర్ ఎ ఫ్రెండ్ న్యూట్రల్ పర్సన్ ఎ మీడియేటర్ ఎనిమీ అండ్ రిలేటివ్ యు నో హీ సీస్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ ఆన్ ద సేమ్ ప్లాట్ఫామ్ యాజ్ ద సేమ్ ఓకే దెన్ ఫర్దర్ హీ సేస్ యోగి యుంజీత సతతం ఆత్మానం రహసి స్థితః ఏకాకి యత చిత్తాత్మ నిరాశిర పరిగ్రహ ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు అటైన్ దట్ స్టేజ్ ఆఫ్ పర్ఫెక్షన్ అ యోగి షుడ్ సిచ్యువేట్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ ఇన్ సొలిటరీ ప్లేస్ అండ్ హీ షుడ్ అబ్జార్బ్ హిస్ మైండ్ ఇన్ సమాధి ఇన్ అ సాలిటరీ ప్లేస్ యత చిత్తాత్మ హీ షుడ్ బి కంట్రోల్డ్ ఇన్ హిస్ మైండ్ అండ్ బాడీ నిరాశిర్ అపరిగ్రహ వితౌట్ ఎనీ డిజైర్ అండ్ వితౌట్ ఎనీ పొసెసివ్నెస్ హీ షుడ్ బి సిచ్యువేటెడ్ That is the prerequisite for a yogarudha. Shuchau deshe pratishtapya stiram asanam atmana natyu chridam nati nicham chailajina kushottaram tatraikagram manakritva yata chittendriya kriyaha upavishyasane yunjad yogam atma vishuddhaye. Further it is mentioned the practice of that yogi. He should, in this solitary place, he should establish a solid asana. It cannot be moving and unstable. In a clean place he should situate it. It should be neither too high nor be too low. First one should have a layer of kusha grass, then a layer of deer skin, and then a layer of cloth on top of that. And he should sit on that and concentrate looking at the tip of his nose, which means the eyes should be half closed and half open. Because if it is fully open, it will be distracted. If it is fully closed, it will lead to sleep. So therefore half closed so that he can remain without distraction and without sleep. So in this way he should concentrate his mind on one point, yata chittendriya kriya, okay, that samprekshanasika agramsam, that comes in the next verse, I'm sorry. So ekagram manakritva, concentrating the mind on one point and controlling the activities of the mind and senses, he should engage in yoga for the purification of his consciousness. Samam kaya shirogrivam dharayan achalam stirah సంప్రేక్ష నాసికాగ్రం సందిశ్చానవలోకయన్ ప్రశాంతాత్మా విగతబీహి బ్రహ్మచారి వ్రతస్థిత మనస్ సంయమ్య మచ్చిత్తో యుక్త ఆసీత మత్పర ఫర్దర్ ఇట్ ఇస్ మెన్షన్ దట్ హీ షుడ్ కీప్ హిస్ బి హ్యాండ్ అండ్ నెక్ ఇన్ వన్ లైన్ మోషన్ లెస్ అండ్ ఫర్మ్ బికాస్ ఇఫ్ ఇట్ కీప్స్ మూవింగ్ వన్ విల్ నాట్ బి ఏబుల్ టు మెడిటేట్ ప్రాపర్లీ విచ్ మీన్స్ పోస్చర్ ఇస్ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ గేజింగ్ అట్ ద టిప్ ఆఫ్ ద నోస్ without looking in any other directions, with peaceful mind, fearlessness and celibacy, and withdrawing his mind from sense objects, he should remain matpara, he should remain in devotion to Krishna. So as we saw, in the practice of jnana yoga, the element of bhakti was necessary to realize the paramatma and eventually attain liberation. Similarly, in the practice of Ashtanga Yoga also, the element of bhakti is very critical. Yunjanevam sadatmanam yogi niyatamanasah శాంతిం నిర్వాణ పరమం మత్సంస్థామధిగచ్చతి. అండ్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద రిజల్ట్ ఆఫ్ సచ్ అ ప్రాక్టీస్? హి సేస్ యుంజనేవం సదా ఆత్మానం, కాన్స్టెంట్లీ ఎంగేజింగ్ ద మైండ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వే ఇన్ మెడిటేటింగ్ ఆన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ద సూపర్ సోల్ విత్ ఇన్. నియత మానస, ద యోగి బికాస్ హిస్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఇస్ డివైడ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్, శాంతిం అధిగచ్చతి, హీ అటైన్స్ శాంతి, విచ్ మీన్స్ డిస్ట్రక్షన్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ బాండేజ్. నిర్వాణ పరమాం మత్ సంస్థాం, నిర్వాణ పరమాం మీన్స్ ది స్టేజ్ ఆఫ్ అల్టిమేట్ లిబరేషన్ విచ్ ఇస్ మత్ సంస్థాన్ విచ్ ఇస్ బ్రహ్మజ్యోతి. సో ఈ అటైన్స్ బ్రహ్మజ్యోతి. అండ్ దెన్ వి సా దట్ ఫర్ దిస్ ప్రాక్టీస్, ఫర్ ఎనీ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ ఎనీ యోగా దర్ మస్ట్ బి యాక్చువల్లీ యూ కెన్ సే బ్యాలెన్స్ రెగ్యులేషన్. రెగ్యులేషన్ ఇస్ వెరీ క్రిటికల్ ఇన్ ప్రాక్టీసింగ్ ఎనీ యోగా. నా అతి అశ్నతస్తు యోగోస్తి నచైకాంతం అనశ్నత నచాతి స్వప్నశీలస్య జాగ్రత్తోనైవ చార్జున. యోగా ఇస్ నాట్ పాసిబుల్ ఫర్ అ పర్సన్ హూ ఈట్స్ టూ మచ్ ఆర్ ఈట్స్ టూ లెస్, స్లీప్స్ టూ మచ్ ఆర్ స్లీప్స్ టూ లెస్. యునో హీ సేస్ దట్ హాఫ్ ద స్టమక్ షుడ్ బి ఫిల్డ్ విత్ ఫుడ్, 1/4 ఫర్ వాటర్ అండ్ 1/4 ఫర్ ద మూమెంట్ ఆఫ్ ది ఎయిర్. యుక్తాహార విహారశ్చ యుక్తచేష్టస్య కర్మసు యుక్త స్వప్నావబోధస్య యోగో భవతి దుఃఖః. For yoga to destroy all suffering, there must certainly be regulation in yoga. It cannot be haphazard. It cannot be a sine wave. One day very, very extreme, practicing very too much, and on the other day, not practicing anything. It cannot be like that. So yoga has to be, so regulation is very critical, whether it is practice of bhakti yoga or ashtanga yoga or jnana yoga. There should be yukta ahara, regulated eating, because if eating is not regulated, then digestion will not be regulated. If the digestion is not regulated, then the apana vayu will not be regulated. If the apana vayu is not regulated, then the prana vayu will not be regulated. If the prana vayu is not regulated, then one will not be able to focus, because prana vayu is directly connected to the functioning of the mind. That's why when we feel constipated, it's very difficult to focus the mind. Okay, so yukta ahara, and then yukta vihara also. There must be regulated walking, which is actually accepted recreation for the Vaishnavas, according to Srila Vishnu and Chakrati Thakur. Yukta cheshtasya karmasu, and there must be regulated usage of organs in both material and spiritual activities. Yukta swapna avabodhasya, there must be regulated sleep and regulated waking up. So if a person practices yoga in this way, then that practice of yoga will help him overcome suffering. Okay. Then, యదా వినియతం చిత్తం ఆత్మన్యేవావతిష్టతే నిస్పృహః సర్వకామేభ్యో యుక్త ఇతి ఉచ్యతే సదా. When this motionless consciousness, ఆత్మన్యేవావతిష్టతే, when it fixes itself in the self alone, నిస్పృహః సర్వకామేభ్యో, without any material desires, యుక్త ఇతి ఉచ్యతే సదా, then one is said to have reached the stage of yoga ruda, the perfected stage of yoga. యథా దీపో నివాతస్థో నేంగతే సోపమాస్మృత యోగినో యత చిత్తస్య యుంజతో యోగమాత్మనః. An analogy is given to, an example is given to establish the state of mind of such a yogi, that he says that his consciousness is motionless, just like the flame, a flame in a windless place does not move at all. Similarly, his consciousness does not waver. ఎత్రో పరమతే చిత్తం నిరుద్ధం యోగ సేవయ ఎత్ర చైవాత్మనాత్మానం పశ్యన్ ఆత్మని తుష్యతి సుఖం ఆత్యంతికం యత్తద్ బుద్ధిగ్రాహ్యం అతీంద్రియం వేత్తి ఎత్ర శైవాయం స్థితశ్చరతి తత్వతః యం లబ్ధ్వా చాపరం లాభం మన్యతే నాధికం తతః యస్మిన్ స్థితోన దుఃఖేన గురుణాపి విచాల్యతే తం విద్యా దుఃఖ సంయోగ వియోగం యోగ సంవిధం స నిశ్చయేన యోక్తవ్యో యోగో అనిర్విణ్ణ చేతస. సో ద లాస్ట్ లైన్ ఆల్సో కమ్స్ హియర్. లాస్ట్ టైం ఐ మేడ్ ద మిస్టేక్ సంహౌ in saving this, I made a mistake. So this line also comes here. I will just make that correction. Okay. So this is four verses together. So he says, Yatra Uparamate Chittam, when the consciousness is completely controlled, Niruddham Yoga Sevaya, and becomes inactive by the practice of yoga. So when the chitta becomes inactive means there is no, even though the eyes are seeing, the ears are hearing sound, the tongue is tasting taste, the nose is smelling fragrance, but there is no generation of material emotions, because the functioning of the chitta has stopped. Yatra uparamate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya, by perfect practice of yoga, the chitta has stopped functioning, which means there are no material vasanas which are generating material emotions due to when the senses come in touch with the sense objects. Yatra uparamate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya. Yoga chitta vritti nirodha. You know, that's what Patanjali says here. So, yatra cha eva atmana atmanam pashyan, and wherein one sees the Paramatma with the aid of the Paramatma, because the senses and the mind have been destroyed or subdued. So therefore, the vision of the Paramatma is by the help of the Paramatma, who activates the soul's ability to perceive. That is what is the meaning of Yatra cha eva atmana atmanam pashyan. He is seeing the Paramatma with the aid of Paramatma, and atmani tushyati, and the yogi is completely satisfied. It's not that he is dissatisfied. Vetti atyantikam sukam yattad buddhi grahyam. And he experiences an extreme level of bliss, which is experienceable only by the spiritual intelligence. But atindriyam, it cannot be understood by material senses. A kind of bliss which is ununderstandable, the material senses, it is understandable only to the spiritual intelligence. Yatasthitaha ayam nacha eva tattvataha chalati. So he says that wherein he does not move from his true spiritual nature. Yam labdva chaparam labam nadik manyate nadikam tataha. And he considers that having attained this situation, he understands that there can be nothing higher than this. Yasmin sthitah, and being situated in such a situation of self-realization, na gurunapi dukkena vichalyate, even he is not disturbed, even by the greatest of calamities, he is not being disturbed. Tam vidya dukkha samyoga viyogam yoga samyutam. And this state, where a person is completely separated from all kinds of material miseries, is understood in yoga. Sa nischayena yoktavyo yogo anirvinna chetasa. Sa yogo nischayena yoktavyo. This yoga must be practiced with determination. You know, you should not give up determination, because success will not come very quick. Success will come gradually. So unless one has the determination to complete the process, it is not possible to attain success in this yoga. And anirvinna chetasa, and because success will not come easily, it will come very slowly, one should not get depressed thinking, oh, I am not able to progress further. Sa nischayena yoktavyo yogo anirvinna chetasa. And in this context, the example of that bird which tries to dry the ocean, that is given. Sankalpa prabhavan kamam stekva sarvan asheshatah manasai vendriya gramam viniyamya samantatah shanair shanair med buddhya dhriti grihitaya atma samstha manakratva na kinchid api chintayet. Further, Krishna says, tekva asheshatah sarvam sankalpa prabhavan kamam. At this stage, one completely gives up all the vasanas. There are all sense objects born out of vasanas are given up. Sankalpa prabhavan kamam stekva sarvan asheshatah. So he gives up kama, which is born out of sankalpa. Elsewhere it is also mentioned kama sankalpa varjitah. in the second chapter it is mentioned, right? In the description of the Sita Pragya. So Sankalpa Prabhavan Kaman, that those desires which are born out of material vasanas, Asheshataha Tattva, he has given up completely. But he still has desire for liberation. But that liberation, that desire for liberation is not a Sankalpa Prabhavan Kaman. It's not a kama which is born out of material vasanas. So he has Sankalpa Prabhavan Kamam Tattva Sarvan Asheshata. He has given up completely all sense objects as well as impressions arising from desire. Indriya Gramam Vinyamya Samantata. He has completely controlled all his senses. Manasa Eva, by the mind. Indriyani Paranyahur Indriyabhya Paramanaha Manasastu Parabuddhe Ryo Buddhe Paratastu Saha. So, for realized soul, the soul controls the intelligence controls the mind controls the senses, and the senses control the sense objects. So this is the right order. So he has perfectly controlled all his senses by the mind, which has been controlled by the concentrated intelligence. And with his mind meditating on Atma, gradually he should remain in this samadhi. And while in this situation, one should not think of anything else. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalam astiram tastato niyamye tad atmanyeva vasham nayet. Whenever for a moment the mind gets moves here and there, one should pull it back and fix it on the goal, on the object within the heart. Prashanta manasam hiyenam yoginam sukham uttamam upaiti shanta rajasam brahmabhut kalmasham. So such a person, sukham uttamam, supreme bliss upaiti, it comes. Prashanta manasam hiyenam. Supreme bliss comes to that yogi who has pacified mind. Shanta rajasam, who has subdued his passion. Akalmasham, who has freed himself from sinful tendencies. Brahmabhutam, and thus he has reached realization of Brahman. He has reached the Brahmabhuta stage. Brahmabhuta prasannatma, nashochati, nakankshati, samasarveshu bhuteshu, madbhaktim labate param. Like that. So this is the stage of the Brahmabhuta stage. This is where we ended our discussion last time. So today we will continue our discussion further. But before we continue our discussion further, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask ahead, you can please go ahead. Yes, Sachi Pran Prabhu.
In the beginning, you said about the soul part. The Prabhupada mentioned the symptom of the soul is consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and also you mentioned in the purpose that many times it is a contaminated consciousness. Contaminated consciousness. So that means soul is not getting contaminated. So what is getting contaminated? We have to, consciousness has to be purified. So consciousness is a symptom of the soul. So, what need to be purified exactly? If the soul is not getting touch with the modes, or soul is the always in a pure state of consciousness, what is getting contaminated?
What is getting contaminated? Yeah. Is a good question. Actually, the soul is identifying with the material mind, the material mind and the material body. And when the material mind accumulates a lot of material vasanas, it gets contaminated, right? So, even though whether the material mind is clean or when the material mind is contaminated, the problem is there only when the soul identifies with it, okay? So, the problem is with false ego. This purification, impurity and purification are on the platform of false ego. So similarly, bondage and liberation are on the platform of false ego. On the platform of true ego, there is neither bondage nor liberation actually. So what gets impure? The mind with which the soul is wrongly identifying, that gets impure. So even though one may say that but anyway the soul is not the mind, so what is the problem if the mind gets impure, that is true. But to reach the stage of a true ego, it is possible only when the mind becomes purified of material vasanas. Otherwise, when the mind is filled with lot of material vasanas, with that baggage, to transcend to the platform of true ego is very, very difficult. So, therefore, what is to be purified? The mind is to be purified. But anyway, the soul is not the mind. Yes. But for the soul to actually transcend the, the grips of the mind, it has to first at least purify the mind. It has to remove the baggage, and then it becomes easier for one to completely come to the platform of true ego.
Yeah, fine. Thank you, sir.
Hare Krishna. Shyamali Mataji. Hare Krishna. I am not able to hear your voice. Is it a problem with, are others able to hear their voice? Is it problem with my earphones or is it?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, Prabhu, now it's clear.
Okay. So, Prabhuji, you were explaining about the Yoga Ruda stage, how a person is neutral to everything. Mm-hmm. Whether it is happiness or distress or insulting, or at the level of body, mind and senses, everything, he is neutral. Right. But at the same time, he is experiencing extreme bliss.
Yeah.
Because he is in touch with the Supreme.
Correct. Correct.
So when he is experiencing extreme bliss, that is happiness, no? So, that is not neutral.
Yeah. So, when we say neutral, it refers to happiness born out of material sense objects. He is neutral to that. But he is not neutral to the happiness that is born out of soul.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, that means... at that stage, the mind is, as Satipran Prabhu said, the mind is already purified from false ego. He has reached true ego.
Yeah.
So, person who is situated in true ego will always be blissful.
True. Exactly.
Okay. So this stage of true ego is reached through bhakti process also, no?
Yeah, in bhakti process, right from the beginning, one starts with the on the platform of true ego only. One starts bhakti process on the path of bhakti. One starts bhakti on the platform of true ego only. But in the sadhana avastha, even though he is practicing on the platform of true ego, there is a baggage of past false ego that he carries, which we call as anarthas. So as long as this baggage of anarthas is there, even though one is trying to act on the platform of true ego, the influence of the past ego will also affect his actions. So, but gradually when the anartha nivritti happens, the influence of the past false ego becomes weaker and weaker, and his true ego becomes stronger and stronger. And eventually there is no influence of the past false ego, and he is completely able to act only on the platform of true ego. Does it make sense, bro? I will give you an example. I will give you an example. Like say, for example, when you are chanting the holy names, are you acting on the platform of true ego or false ego?
Attentive, it's true ego.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just when chanting because I'm told that you're supposed to chant. So.
Okay, who told you? Who told you to chant?
Gurudev.
Why you are following? When you are following Gurudev, are you trying to act on the platform of true ego or false ego?
Well, yeah, Dasanudas. So
which ego
means
false ego?
Yeah, that is my original identity. That is true ego.
True ego, na? But are you able to chant attentively?
No.
Why you are not able to chant attentively?
Because the mind is. The mind is creating havoc when I'm chanting.
So, that mind creating havoc is due to the influence of your anarthas, right?
Correct.
And that anarthas is actually in the form of, it may be in the form of lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion and pride, which is actually all connected to your body and your bodily identification. So, because you have not given up even though we theoretically know we are not this body, but for all practical purposes, we may be identifying with the body. But when someone shakes us, then we realize, no, yeah, actually I'm not this body. But still, since time immemorial, we have been identifying with the gross and subtle body. The past, the inertia of that past identification, we are still there. You know, I've been recently using this example, so I'm using it again. It is like sitting on a, you are on a Rajdhani Express, which is going from, you remember that analogy, right?
You throw the ball out and the ball will have its momentum. You jump out of the train, you will have a momentum. You cannot jump.
Correct. So, or I gave this example of, inside the train, you are trying to run towards Mathura, even though the train is running towards Bombay in the opposite direction. So the train is the inertia of the past false ego, and you are moving inside the train in the direction of Mathura is your true ego. That is your so that is sadhakas actually. Sadhakas, they want to please Krishna. But in doing that, they find it very difficult to overcome the influence of their past false ego. It becomes very difficult for them. So therefore, as devotees, right from the beginning, we have accepted true ego. But still, whenever our activities are contrary to the actions of a soul on the platform of true ego, it means we are responding to our past swabhava, to our past false ego, the influence of which has not subdued yet, is not subdued yet. So therefore, we try to chant the holy names, that is true ego, but we are not able to chant attentively because of that inattention is caused due to the baggage of false ego. Past false ego, which we are still carrying. We want to please the spiritual master, but in pleasing the spiritual master, we also try to engage in activities for our own gratification. So that diversion due to gratify ourselves is due to the influence of the past false ego. We want to honor prasadam. But in trying to honor prasadam, we end up enjoying prasadam. The desire to honor prasadam is born out of our true ego. But succumbing to enjoying that prasadam due to the influence of the past false ego. Like that.
Wonderful. Beautiful explanation, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Guru. Thank you. Okay, anything else anyone would like to share as before we move ahead to today's discussion? There is one question in the chat box. We will take that. By so many austerities, does these yogis at Yogaruda stage become hard-hearted? Yes, it is true. That is why they become hard-hearted. That is why it becomes difficult for them to establish a relationship with Krishna. So, therefore, it does not mature. Their stage of perfection does not mature into either Rati or Rasa. It remains plain Sayujya Mukti only. So, yes, they remain hard-hearted. This is true. Yes, Keshav Priya Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, is there anything as a follower in Bhakti Yoga we should learn from this chapter, Prabhuji, all these discussions?
Yeah, lot of things. Bhakti Yogi can learn. Let us take the last few verses for example. I'll just give an example. For example, 6.19. Yata dipo nivatasto nengate sopamasrita yogino yata chittasya yunjato yogamatmanah. So, this describes the motionless state of a yogi who has attained perfection, which does not move, just like a wind, just like a flame in a windless place. So, this indicates that even as devotees, we can understand that this is the stage of perfection of our smaranam. If we remember Krishna, real perfection is when our consciousness is no longer taken away. So, which means, till it reaches that stage, we always think that there is so much scope for improvement. There is so much scope for improvement like that. So, we understand. Next verse we will see. So, the series of verses, he says, Yatro paramate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya yatra chevatmanatmanam pashyanatmanam. In this verse he says, sukham atyantikam yattad buddhigrahya matindriyam. Even, so it is mentioned here, a yogi at the perfected stage, he experiences a bliss which is completely spiritual and it cannot be understood by material senses. Similarly, the bliss experienced at the stage of bhava yama is also atindriyam. And then it is mentioned that yam labdva chaparam labham manyate nadikam tataha yasmin sthitona dukkena gurunapi vichalyate. When a yogi reaches the stage of being a liberated person, so he understands that that there is nothing higher than this bliss that what he is experiencing. So similarly, a person who reaches the stage of bhava and prema, moksha lagutakrit, even the bliss of moksha becomes insignificant. And sandrananda visheshatma, that bliss is so condensed at the stage of prema that everything else pales into insignificance. Yasmin sthitona dukkena gurunapi vichalyate. And the more one accesses spiritual bliss, the less he will be troubled by the adhyatmik, adibhautik and adidaivik kleshas. This is true with the stage of prema also. Tam vidya dukkha samyoga viyogam yoga samgitam. And this state of being completely undisturbed by material miseries is called perfection of yoga. So similarly, even perfection at the stage of perfection of bhakti yoga, one will no longer be touched by material miseries. And the most important thing, last line, sa nischayena yoktavyo yogo anirvinna chetasa. Essentially, this says there is utsahan nischayat dairyat. That's what this last verse. So when you are engaging in devotional service, there should always be enthusiasm, even though there may be 100 reasons to lose enthusiasm. Not only enthusiasm, that enthusiasm should translate into determined endeavor. Now, that is what he says is nishchayena yoktavyo, nishchaya. But again and again failures will come. You will slip and fall down. But don't lose heart. Anirvinna chetasa, don't get depressed. Get up and start moving. Okay. The same teachings are there. Tato bhajeta mam prita shraddhalur dridanishchaya jushamascha tankaman dukkodarkamscha garhayan. Same teaching in the 11th canto Krishna gives to Uddhava about the practice of bhakti yoga. And in the same context, all this example of Garuda, the small bird trying to dry the ocean and Garuda trying to come and helping him. This is all relevant for Bhakti Yogis also. Okay. And then, and all these verses, actually, it has devotional parallels. Sankalpa prabhavan kamam stetva sarvan asheshatah. Even for a devotee, at the higher stages of bhakti, he is free from all kinds of material desires. Manasaivendriya gramam viniyamya samantatah. And with his mind, which is filled with material spiritual vasanas, he completely subdues the senses from pursuing material objects of sense gratification. Like that. And then, but for a sadhaka, next verse is for a sadhaka. Yato yato nischalati manaschanchalam astiram tatastato niyamyetad atmanyeva vasham nayat. Whenever the mind goes here and there, pull it back and fix it in the holy name. And here he says, 28th verse says, yunjanevam sadhatmanam yogi vigatakal. Okay, we have not completed this verse. So you can say that, you can see that there are parallels for all the verses, some things which are parallel. So of course you should understand which verse is talking about Ashtanga Yoga or the other yogas, and we should also understand that we are just drawing a parallel, but it's not that literally it is discussing about Bhakti Yoga, even though many times Prabhupada describes these verses as being actually talking about Bhakti Yoga. What he is explaining is, he is just drawing a parallel. It is not that literally it is talking about Bhakti Yoga, because these descriptions of Ashtanga Yoga have no practical application in today's day and age. So therefore, Prabhupada, for all practical purposes, understanding that only Bhakti Yoga is possible in this day and age, so he describes them as if it is talking about Bhakti Yoga. But he describes that because certainly you can draw a parallel on the path of Bhakti Yoga also, like that.
Yeah, Prabhuji, I understood. But that's what I felt hearing all this. It's not relevant to us because here Grihastha Sannyasa is also not allowed for Ashtanga Yoga. So it's not at all possible for this day and age. And another thing is, we can draw a parallel, Prabhuji, but the one procedure is totally dependent on our own endeavor, like, depend on us, but the other procedures totally depend on Krishna, no, Prabhuji?
Both are not, even though we present it like that, but it is not like that. It is not that Ashtanga Yoga is completely dependent on endeavor, and it's not that Bhakti Yoga is completely dependent on mercy also.
Mm-hmm.
So, in Bhakti Yoga also, there is significant endeavor. Otherwise, what is Utsahan, Nishchayad, Dhairya, this is all personal endeavor.
Mm.
Right? But ultimately everything depends on mercy, because all that Utsaha, Nischaya, Dhairya is only to attract mercy.
Mm.
So that is the way. But that does not mean that you don't do anything and keep depending on mercy. So definitely
cleaning process here is different. And Bhakti Yoga.
No, that is true. That is true. Mm. No, mm. That is true. Even in Ashtanga Yoga, it is not so in Ashtanga Yoga also, it is not that it is completely dependent on one's own endeavor.
Mm.
Just that the emphasis on endeavor is more and emphasis on mercy is less. So, but in Bhakti Yoga, the emphasis on mercy is more, the emphasis on endeavor is also more in order to attract mercy.
Mm.
So otherwise, in Bhakti Yoga, we constantly talk about endeavor also. You know, the whole of nectar of instruction is all about endeavor, right? Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha utsahan nischaya dairyat vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam tadati pratigrinnati krishneti yasya giritam. And then don't try to find faults in Vaishnavas. All of these verses, first 7-8 verses, are completely about endeavor only. But that does not mean there is no mercy. All the endeavor is to attract mercy. Mm-hmm. And a devotee can see that mercy. An Ashtanga Yogi cannot so easily see that mercy, because there is not much Sukriti there. But otherwise, even the path of Ashtanga Yoga is mercy only. Because it is only the element of bhakti that is causing the success of that practice. Like that.
Thank you, Praj. Hare Krishna.
Okay. So, if there are no further discussion points, comments or questions, then we will continue with today's discussion. Okay. So, Krishna continues here. So he says, Yunjanevam sadatmanam yogi vigata kalmashah sukena brahma samsparsham atyantam sukamashnute. So he says, yoga yuktatma. I think there is a mistake here. I made a mistake here. Just give me a second. There was a problem with my cut paste. Just give me 1 second. There is a mistake here. Just give me 1 second. Just give me just 1 second. I'm almost done. So, okay. Let me share the screen. Okay. So here, Krishna says, Yunjan evam sada atmanam. Thus constantly experiencing atma. Yogi vigata kalmashaha. The yogi who is free of all sins. Sukena ashnutev, he very easily attains atyantam sukam, the unlimited bliss, brahma samsparsham, of experiencing paramatma. So, he says that, thus constantly experiencing atma, because it's this description of the Yoga Ruda stage. So, it is further description of Yoga Ruda stage. So he says, thus constantly experiencing Atma, the yogi free of all sin, easily attains the unlimited bliss of experiencing Paramatma. So self-realization will naturally lead to realizing the realization of the Paramatma. He says, then he attains success. Attaining bliss means he becomes a Jivan Mukta, liberated even in this life. Atyantam Sukam Ashnute means he attains the bliss of being liberated in this life. He becomes a Jivan Mukta. So Jivan Mukta means while in this body, he detaches himself from the subtle body. Then after that, he will merge in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Like that. Then he continues, Sarva Bhutastam Atmanam Sarva Bhutani Chatmani Ikshate Yoga Yuktatma Sarvatra Samadarshanaha. Then he says, what is realizing the Paramatma? What does it mean? So he says, Yoga Yuktatma, the yogi in perfect samadhi, Sarvatra Samadarshanaha, who sees Paramatma as equal to all, Ikshate, he realizes, Sarva Bhutastam Atmanam, he realizes the Paramatma as the controller of all living entities, Sarva Bhutani Chatmani, and he realizes him as the resting place of all living entities. So, what is the meaning of Paramatma realization? Paramatma realization means three things. Okay. The first thing is he sees the Paramatma to be equal to all. It's not that Upadrashta Anumanta Bhatta Bhokta Maheshwaraha. So it's not that Paramatma is inspiring someone to commit bad activities. He is inspiring someone to commit good acts. Not like that. Paramatma is equal to all. Just he acts according to the karma of the living entity and swabhava of the living entity. He empowers and inspires them in that particular direction. That's all. Paramatma is not the cause of particular desires that the living entity has. Right? So this is the first aspect of Paramatma realization. Sarvatra Samadarshanaha. He sees Paramatma as being equal to all. Second, Sarvabhutastam Atmanam. The second aspect of Paramatma realization is that he sees the Paramatma as the controller of all living entities. Being situated from within them, he controls them. And the third is Sarva Bhutani Chatmani. He is the resting place of all living entities. This indicates, you can say, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu or Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, who is the resting place of all living entities at the time of dissolution. Okay. So he says, this verse shows the Jivan Mukta's direct experience of Brahman. He whose consciousness has taken the form of Brahman, Yoga Yuktatma. So Brahman means here he is Brahma Bhuta. Okay. Which is Jivan Mukta. Which is also the same as Stita Pragya. These are the same synonyms. Brahma Bhuta, Jivan Mukta, Stita Pragya, everything. Okay. He whose consciousness has taken the form of Brahman realizes by spiritual perception, Ikshate, spiritual perfection, the Paramatma who resides in all living entities, Sarvabhutastam Atmanam, and is the resting place of all the living entities, Sarvabhutani Chatmani. Thus he sees everything as Brahman, Samadarshinaha. Okay, like that. So this is the meaning of realizing the Paramatma. Further, he says, Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamayi pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sachamena pranashyati. Yomam pashyati sarvatra, he who sees me as Brahman everywhere, sarvam chamayi pashyati, and sees everything in me. So what is the result of the realization mentioned in 6.29, the previous verse? What is the result of this realization? Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamayi pashyati tasya aham na pranashyami. He never loses sight of me, sachamena pranashyati, nor do I lose sight of him. Okay. This is what Krishna says. One who reaches this stage of being a Brahma Bhuta, I am never lost to him, indicating that this is a permanent state. This is not a temporary state. The stage of realization is not a reversible state. It is an irreversible state. Neither do I lose sight of him, nor does he lose sight of me. That is the meaning of tasya aham na pranashyami sachamena pranashyati. Like that. So he says, the result of this spiritual realization is stated. I, the Brahman, never becomes invisible to that person. Since I am continually present before him, the yogi, my worshipper is never lost to me. So because I am always in front of him. He is never lost to me and I am never lost to him. Like that. So this is the result of the realization mentioned in 6.29. Then he says, Sarvabhutasthitam yo maam bhajate katvam asthitah sarvatavartamano sayogi mayi vartate. So he says, the yogi, yaha maam bhajati. Here, there is further clarification that even at the stage of being Jivan Mukta, a yogi should not give up Bhakti Yoga. The practice of the devotional limb should not be given up. That is what is indicated here. Yomam Bhajati. The word Bhaja indicates Bhakti. So the yogi who worships me, Ekatvam Asthitah, as the one living being, Sarva Bhuta Sthitam, who is the cause of all, Saha Mayi Vartate, he exists in me, Sarvata Vartamanopi, no matter what his manner of worship is. Okay. So such a yogi who worships the Lord, which means he does not give up the limb of devotional service, even though he may give up practice of Ashtanga Yoga at some point, the practice of Karma Yoga, even before that, practice of the limbs of Jnana, at the stage of, after reaching Brahma Bhuta stage, after reaching the Jivan Mukta stage, he gives up the limbs of Yoga and Jnana and Karma, but he should not give up the practice of the Bhakti limbs. That is why Yaha Maam Bhajati is mentioned. He who worships me as the one living being, Sarva Bhuta Sthitam, who is situated in all living entities, as the cause of all living entities, Saha Mayi Vartate, such a person exists in me, no matter what his manner of worship. Srila Vishwanathacharya commenting on this here, he says, the yogi who worships me as Paramatma situated everywhere, even before direct realization, is beyond the rules. Okay. So, beyond the rules means beyond the rules of Dharma Shastras. He who, acknowledging that the Paramatma alone exists, since he is the cause of all, worships me through hearing and chanting, resides in me and not in samsara, whether performing the acts indicated in the scriptures or not. Sarvata vartamanopi. So he resides in me means, even though he may be externally seen to be situated in the material world, but one should understand that he is not in samsara, he is actually transcendentally situated. That is the meaning of residing in me. Yes. So residing in me means he is transcendentally situated. Even though he may be externally seen to be within this material world, one should understand that he is not situated in samsara, but he is situated transcendentally. Like that. So finally, in the last verse of this section, discussing about this yogi, he says, Atma upamyena sarvatra samam pashyati yorjuna sukam vayadi vadukkam sayogi paramomataha. So this is the concluding verse describing one who has reached the stage of liberation through Ashtanga Yoga. So he says, Mataha, in my opinion, Yaha Yogi, that Yogi, Samam Pashyati, who sees equally everything, Atma Aupamyena, as equal to himself, Sarvatra, in all circumstances, sukam va yadi va dukkam, whether in happiness or suffering, saha paramaha, he is supposed to be the topmost yogi. So one who has reached this stage of being a jivan mukta, who is able to see everything equally, as equal to himself, which means he is able to see his own suffering, other people's suffering as his own suffering, atma aupamyena, which means he has developed the quality of empathy, empathizing with others. He is able to see others' suffering as his own suffering. So one who has reached that stage and who is equipoised in happiness and suffering, he is the topmost yogi. So he says, moreover, it has been stated that even the yogi at the stage of sadhana should have equal vision everywhere. This verse explains the most important type of equal vision. He sees what is good for himself and what is bad for himself as equally applicable to others. He desires happiness for all others and does not desire suffering for anyone. That yogi I consider best. So which means the pinnacle of perfection of equal vision is the vision of empathy. Like that. Okay, so this brings us to the end of this section where Krishna describes this various stages of practice of Ashtanga Yoga, both the Yoga Ruda stage and the Yoga Rurukshu stage, and descriptions of a person who has reached the stage of Yoga Ruda or the stage of perfection. So this is where we ended our discussion. Okay, this is where this section ends. So before we start the next section, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add, you can please go ahead. There are two hands up already. Sachi Prantu.
Roji, Dandatanam Roji, please accept my most comment. Roji, there is one group called Jivan Mukta Group. They used to come, they regularly come to Pandharpur, and I don't know what the philosophy is. They distribute the free Gita. But they are actually, they are life members of ISKCON, so, and they love Prabhupada like anything. They appreciate the Prabhupada, but their philosophy is not exactly, you know, not matching. Their group is called Jivan Mukta. So initially, because we also distribute Bhagavad Gita and all book distribution in our camp, so initially our book distribution team told me, Prabhuji, they are distributing nonsense, all this. Why we should allow them to be, no? And then I was thinking they are glorifying the Srila Prabhupada and their life members of ISKCON. So let them, in one way, they will get against security. And they don't have any source of prasadam, so they come for prasadam to our place. So, Jivan Mukta, you do 2-3 times it came, so it clicks to my mind. So, what are they going to get any benefit from you by glorifying Srila Prabhupada? Because if the philosophy is Jivan Mukta, I don't know, I gave it to Kumar Bhakti Samanapuru, I have not read that book. But basically, the label is Jivan Mukta. And they conduct all their Vaskuja in ISKCON Jew only. But their philosophy is not exactly like us, you know. I don't know exactly what philosophy they follow.
So, yeah, even I don't know what philosophy they follow. So I cannot comment.
I have not read that book, but I gave it this book to Samantu. He said it's not in line with us.
Okay.
This
was
when he told me. Okay. So they distribute free Gita, 1 lakh Gita, 2 lakh Gita, you know, small book, maybe it's a small book Gita. So are they going to get some some sukriti?
Yeah, I mean, if they come to our this thing, and if they associate with our devotees, honor our prasadam and all that, definitely they will get sukriti.
Not by distributing Gita, no?
Yeah, if that is not proper philosophy, then by distributing that, they may not necessarily get sukriti, but definitely by associating with our devotees worshipping their lordships, Radha Ras Vihari, and honoring Prasadam there, definitely they will get a lot of security.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Keshapriyamati.
Harishna Prabhuji. Prabhuji, you are explaining in the first shloka about Paramatman. Can you go back to that slide? Sarvatra, like he sees Paramatma is helping him to see. Both
this
are
one?
Seeing
Yomam
each
Pashati
other.
Sarvatra, this one?
Yes, Prabhuji. Like both of them are seeing each other. Like yeah. Nor do I lose sight of him. So yeah. Prabhuji, here, like the goal of Jnana Yogi as well as Ashtanga Yogi, both is Brahma Jyoti. Is it not correct, Prabhuji? Both are
yeah,
both
correct,
is Brahma Jyoti.
Correct, correct.
Yeah, Prabhuji. Yeah, yeah. But Jnana Yogi, at least they are speculating and their process is slightly different. But here, Paramatma is visualized with the forehand formula, you know, Prabhuji. Like he's
yeah, yeah.
there, see.
Yeah, but yeah. even Jnana Yogi visualizes the Paramatma form.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what is that? Like, this only I couldn't, 3 points you said about their. Realization of Paramatma, he is spread everywhere. So, what is the type of realization they are getting? Like, are they visualizing him as a person? Or what
yeah,
is
yeah.
It,
they visualize the Lord as a person only.
Okay.
But their goal is to merge in the impersonal Brahma.
This is only, Prabhuji, like, I couldn't get this point, Prabhuji, from
no.
the shloka.
Why? Mm. What did you study, Mataji?
Really?
What did you study as a, for a profession?
Dental surgeon, Prabhuji. I am a bachelor of dental surgeon, BDS.
Okay. So what are you doing now?
Now I am practicing Bhakti Yoga.
Right. So the point is, similarly, there may be people who want to practice their father's business. But just to get a degree, they may join an engineering college and they may get an engineering degree. Not that they don't value engineering or anything, but they have attraction to their father's business only. So similarly, not that everyone who sees the Paramatma, realizes the Paramatma, or the personal form of the Lord, will have a desire to attain that Paramatma as a goal. So, just like I may accept a shopkeeper as a shopkeeper, but only his wife accepts him as her husband, only his son accepts him as a father, only his father accepts him as a son, right? But a common person does not reject the, he does not say that the shopkeeper is an illusion. No, shopkeeper is real. His ability to give is real. But that does not mean I want to establish a relationship with him.
Okay.
The only relationship that I want to have is a transactional relationship. I worship him and in order to attain liberation. So therefore, not everyone who realizes the Paramatma want to establish a relationship with him. So that is only, that needs higher level of Sukriti to develop that kind of aspiration. So these people, they only have so much Sukriti to at least meditate on the form of the Lord, accept that the form of the Lord is real. That much they have Sukriti. But it is not so much Sukriti that they wish to establish a personal relationship. No.
Oh. So they know the truth fully. Like in this shloka itself, they can see the Paramatma as a control of our living entities and as a resting place of our living entities.
That much they know. That much they know. That much they know. But they may not know. They may not accept or realize that he has spiritual pastimes also. Even that they know theoretically, but they don't realize it. Even that they know theoretically. The Lord has spiritual pastimes and all that, but they are not so interested in that, and they don't realize that. Just like currently, we also accept Bhagavan feature, but we have not realized Bhagavan feature. So similarly, they also accept not only the personal form of the Lord, they also accept that the Lord has spiritual form, spiritual name, spiritual pastimes, but that remains to some extent on the theoretical platform for them. They realize only the Paramatma feature, and their aspiration is only the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, like that.
Prabhuji, then Jeeva and Mukta, they are one stage lesser than the final stage of entering into Brahma Jyoti. No,
Prabhuji, So eventually the Jeevan Muktas give up that gross body and enter into the Brahma Jyoti after they...
So Jeevan Muktas will be here along with us, like he'll be with the material in this, like with everyone, as it Prabhuji, they'll be isolated because the last...
Yeah, for Ashtanga Yogis, the Ashtanga Yogis, they generally, they will be in seclusion only.
Okay. So Jeevan Muktas means they are secluded, is it Prabhuji? How to understand the Jeevan Muktas stage? Are they among us?
A devotee Jeevan Mukta will just amongst us. Ashtanga Yogi practitioner, from practice stage itself, he takes to a secluded place because that is a prerequisite for his practice.
Prabhuji, devotee also we'll say the Jeevan Mukta stage, Prabhuji. Do we
Jeevan Mukta means one who has destroyed his material subtle body.
Oh, then pure devotees living in this world, they can be called as Jeevan Mukta.
Yeah.
Oh, I think all these are, I was thinking Jeevan Mukta means all these Jnana Yogi and Ashtanga Yogis.
No.
Prabhuji, then the last stage you are mentioning now, Prabhuji, we are reading.
Oh, I'm sorry. By mistake, I muted you. You can unmute yourself. You can unmute yourself and speak now.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yeah. The last what?
The last shloka, just now we discussed now, Prabhuji. Like he will be visualizing everyone's misery as his own misery. Like, that's what these people are totally, they cut off from this material world itself, like Prabhuji, you were telling Prabhuji, like at least Jnana Yogi, they can
cut off does not mean that they consider the material world is mithya.
Okay.
That is Mayavadis.
No, Prabhuji, I'm asking, like they're not in interaction with any of the, like will they be interacting with the normal people around, or they will be totally isolated? Like how is that?
They will be isolated.
This last shloka, I couldn't connect. No,
they will be in forest. They will be in forest. Does not mean they have isolated themselves from other living entities also.
Oh, okay.
So they are seeing, they are not seeing on the bodily platform. They are seeing on the platform of soul. So on the platform of soul, every living entity around them is identifying with their body. That is suffering only. You can see that.
Oh. That's what.
And just because they may not be interacting with the world, does not mean they are unaware of what is happening in the world. So you don't have to physically see someone suffering to feel bad. But you know that ordinary people who have not accepted the spiritual path, the world is filled with such people that they are suffering. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to see to empathize with them. Even without seeing, you don't have to know what is happening inside a liquor house, you know. People are drinking and falling down, vomiting and doing all sorts of abominable things. You don't have to go inside to know. You know already. So you don't have to feel bad for them after going inside and seeing them. Even while not going, sitting inside your house, you know what is happening there. They are in pathetic stage and they feel empathized. They feel empathy for them, like that.
Okay. Thank you, Prajharish.
Okay. So, if there are no further discussion points or comments or questions, then we will move ahead to the next section where Arjuna is going to ask a question here. After hearing this whole description of Ashtanga Yoga, Arjuna has a very relevant question. He says, योयम् योगस्त्वया प्रोक्तः साम्येन मधुसूदन एतस्याम् न पश्यामि चञ्चलत्वात् स्थितिं स्थिरम्। ओ मधुसूदन, अहम् न पश्यामि, ऐ डु नाट् सी, अयम् साम्येन योगः, दट् दिस् योग इन् विच् यु स्पोक् अबौट् ईक्वल् विजन्, यः त्वया प्रोक्तः, दट् यु हव् स्पोकन्, स्थितिं स्थिरं, दट् केन् बि लास्टिङ्ग्, वै, एतस्य चञ्चलत्वात्, बिकास् द मैण्ड् इस् वेरि फिकल्ट्, ऐ थिङ्क् दट् दिस् योग आफ् ईक्वल् विजन् दट् यु आर् टाकिङ्ग् अबौट् इस् वेरि डिफिकल्ट् टु प्राक्टिस्. ऐ डोण्ट् थिङ्क् दट् दिस् योग इस् प्राक्टिसबल् in this stage. So Shri Vishnu Jagdagur says, seeing that it would be difficult to attain such equal vision, Arjuna speaks, I do not see the performance of this yoga which has achieved equal vision. This yoga will not last forever. This state will last for 3 or 4 days. For 3 or 4 days, I may be able to maintain this equal vision seeing the Lord situated in every living entity, controlling every living entity and all that I can, but then in the long run I don't see it is possible. Why it is not possible? He says, because the mind is unsteady, chanchalatvat. You spoke of seeing the happiness and distress of all living entities of the world as one's own happiness and distress. One can maintain such equal vision for friends or neutral persons, but it is not possible to maintain equal visions for enemies who wish to cause you harm, for those who hate you, or for those who criticize you. It is not possible for me to see as equal at all times the happiness and distress of Yudhishthir and Duryodhana. Sadhushu apicha papeshu samabuddhir vishishyate. So he says, oh, that is not possible for me. I cannot maintain such equal vision for friends, enemies, for my brother Yudhishthir and my enemy Duryodhana, you know, because the mind is very fickle. So he says, even if by intelligence you see equally the jiva, paramatma, pranas, senses and bodily elements of oneself and one's enemies, that lasts only for 2 or 3 days, because the fickle mind is stronger than the discriminating intelligence. So the fickle mind, even though by intelligence I am convinced, my intelligence convinces me that everything is, you know, you should see with equal vision, but my mind is very fickle. So chanchalam hi manak krishna pramati balavadran, that's what he is going to tell next. One sees the mind attached to material enjoyment overcomes the intellect. This is what he says, that what is that verse? What is that verse in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita where he says that even one of the senses when uncontrolled pulls the mind, that mind pulls the intelligence and intelligence pulls the soul down. Like that, what is that verse? Anyone remembers? What is the beginning of that verse? Even one of the senses when uncontrolled, in the second chapter, maybe it is, I think 2.69 or something like that. 2.69, I think maybe. I'm trying to remember the beginning of that verse. If someone remembers, just share it with me. I always quote this verse, but I always forget this verse. Yeah. This is actually poor Kali Yuga memory. Let me see. No, it is not Yani Shastrava Bhutanam. Indriyanam hi charatam. Correct, correct, correct. So I think this is 2. Indriyanam hicharatam. Yeah, 2.67. Indriyanam hicharatam yanmano anuvidiyate tadasya harati pragyam vayurnavam ivambasi. even one of the roaming senses, indriyanam hi charatam yan mano anuvidiyate, it pulls the mind. Tadasya harati pragyam, and that mind pulls the intelligence. Vayur navam yavambasi, just like a boat, in an unfettered boat in a river which is tossed about by the wind. Like that he says, Vayur navam yavambasi. So he says that my mind is very chanchala. So chanchalatva sthitim sthiram. So therefore, I don't think this practice of this yoga that you are talking about is very practical. Is it practical for anyone? That is what Arjuna wants to know. So Krishna will answer. Arjuna will clarify his question further in the next verse, which we will see next Friday. Krishna is going to very beautifully answer this question. So we will take Arjuna's clarification and Krishna's answer to this question next Friday. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We'll continue this discussion next Friday. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.